Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday. With the election tomorrow, I'm sure this is the last time you'll hear us talk about anything to do with the election ever again for the next 3 years. Being abused on the job. A little bit of stuff about that. The big lotto winners, it turns out it was a syndicate, and an ABBA anniversary to discuss. But before any of that, the early voting, how Leighton feels about all this.
Early voting, is it a good idea? So you can vote a couple of weeks before the election, in that period, any time in that period. Is it a good idea in your opinion? Now, if it is a good idea, doesn't it make a mockery? And we've been saying this the last few days. I heard other people say it too. Doesn't it make a mockery of the rules around Election Day? Now, to me, and this is only because this is the way I've lived my life. To me, there is one day that you vote. It's always been a Saturday. Why should it be a Saturday? Well, why shouldn't it be is the answer. There's one day you vote. It's a Saturday. And it's an event day. You go and vote. Everybody goes to vote. Everybody who wants to vote goes to vote. Which then raises another point. Why do we not have compulsory voting? Well, we've argued that backwards and forwards for years and years and years, and finally I've compounded and you can't have. So then why is it compulsory to be on the electoral roll? Tell me that. Why is it compulsory to be on the electoral roll, and why should it be? And if it is compulsory to be on the electoral roll and you want to retain that, why on earth have we got booths around in places like Pack and Save and the airport with people allowed to vote, early voting, but they can enroll right then and there? It makes a mockery of the whole thing. Does it destabilize it? Does it, I don't know, does it dumb it down? Does it lessen the special value of being able to vote in a democracy?
I mean, we were discussing this on the breakfast show the other day. We should all be chipped, and just as soon as we have any kind of political thoughts, they are then acted upon. Like, as soon as enough people think about an issue in a certain way, it becomes policy. Anything else? I haven't worked through all the practical details of it yet. Rachel's thinking about health, for example.
The Minister for Health, as you know, Jonathan Coleman, he says the unmet need is measured in this country. That, people, is fake news. That's rubbish. It's not. You, the Kiwis who want help, you can't get it. You're just told to suffer on in silence. That said, though, the approach to health in this country needs an overhaul on so many levels. National says they're throwing a truckload of money at it. Labour says they'll inject more. The system does need more funding, a lot more. But I think we also need to look at how we're living these days, our lifestyle choices, what we're eating, why we're not moving anywhere near as much as we used to, the extra weight we're carrying, which, among other things, triggers this huge demand for hip and knee reconstructions. It also has an impact on our mental health, and so it goes on. Yes, there are great failings in our health system right now, and it needs a lot more money. But we also need to address what I would call preventable disease and illness. What are you doing to look after your health? Simplistic as this sounds, I mean, it's no great epiphany. But if you eat better and you move more, then you would greatly lessen the demand on our health system. Food for thought, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? The old health political policy issue. It's not an issue for you unless you're directly involved in the health system at the moment. It's a bit like the housing. You know, if you're not buying or selling, you don't really care. And it's not till you actually have dipped your toe into that market that it starts to weigh heavily on your voting decision. Anyway, surely that's enough election for one election. Let's talk about people who get abused while they're doing their job.
I walked into the MSD and just straight away there's just these three women just absolutely attacking one of their caseworkers, I'm assuming, just calling her effing weak. Going absolutely crazy. And there are three of them. The work ended up just walking straight into office where you need a swipe card, where there's a locked door. Meanwhile, there's a security guard sitting there on his phone and one of these three women who were going nuts could have probably picked him up and thrown him out a window. Like, the security guard was doing absolutely nothing. And I ended up turning around and sort of looking at what was going on to see if I'd need to sort of intervene. But, there's pretty hectic stuff they have to deal with.
I wonder if that's just an everyday occurrence and that's why the security guard was not fazed, whether that's just what he hears all day, every day. So, meh, Instagram. Well,
yeah, I think a security guard should probably be interjecting before it gets to sort of verbal abuse, verging on any second. I was expecting one of these people to throw a punch or just do something. So, yeah, I think they need to, step up. Yeah.
Were you surprised by the level of abuse that you heard?
I'm a tradie, so it's sort of light banter for us.
Working in social development there, that's is it a bit like being a parking warden? Like, somebody's got to do it, but everybody sort of hates you. You've got to be a certain type of person, or a calculus teacher. You know, that's somebody's. Do you have to have a certain masochistic tendencies, maybe? I don't know. Talkback host, that's another one. You get a lot of abuse, of course. You love it, though, I think. Maybe you just love it. Love the challenge. If you won the $30 million lotto prize, even if you won a part of it, maybe you wouldn't have to do that job anymore.
When did they come forward?
So they came forward today. They found out about the win on Saturday night, but it's taken them this long to get everybody together, to be able to celebrate together. So it's been very exciting today.
Right, and that's usual, takes some time. And I think they want to remain anonymous, which is probably par for the course, is it?
Yeah, so it's quite normal. What they were keen to do was obviously let people know that it was a syndicate that won, which is just such an exciting thing, and especially for such a large Powerball prize to be shared 10 ways, so $3 million each. That's just such an amazing thing, and they really wanted to share that.
So a syndicate winning this, how often does that happen?
For a big Powerball prize, it's not super often, but we did have some winners a couple of months ago from Kikuiti who won $1 million with Lotto First Division, and they were a workplace syndicate as well, so it might be a bit of a lucky time for syndicates.
It's interesting, isn't it? Tina's obviously a very lovely person because she bought it on behalf of the syndicate. Oh, you know, she didn't do a runner and call from, I don't know, Europe somewhere, you know?
No, not at all. And the ticket had syndicate written right on the back, so there was no hiding it at all.
Yeah, okay.
Geez, you hope everybody paid into the syndicate that week, don't you? Like, there wasn't that one person who went, I'll cover it next week. Because that's going to cause a little bit of stress, isn't it? It's weird, isn't it, how these big prizes, they never claim straight away. I would be down there so fast, I'd be knocking on the door of the lotto shop probably that night. Finding out where the owner of the lotto shop lives. Just banging on the door saying, hey, I think I've won. And then they'd have to open up and check the ticket. And then, of course, I wouldn't have won because I would have checked it wrong, probably. That's usually what happens. We're going to finish up here by talking about my least favourite band in the entire world.
25 years since ABBA Gold came out also. That was the best of. That has sold 30 million copies. Wow. Some would say the greatest album of all time. Others would say the worst. Personally, for me, there's a time and place for ABBA. And who hasn't gone to England and gone to London and been on a train and come into Waterloo Station, found themselves singing the ABBA song? Whoa, 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 whoa. I think we all have done it. At Waterloo, did Napoleon surrender? I don't think the song is about the train station. In fact, what does Waterloo mean? Is it a place that Napoleon went? I don't know, you see. I've caught myself out there. I don't know much about Napoleon. I'm waiting for there to be a good movie about his life. Apparently he wasn't that short. He was like 5'7". I know that because I've clicked on those 25 facts about history you'd never know anyway.
Yeah, I mean, ABBA, it's a weapon of mass destruction. I'm not quite sure what they should sort out first, North Korea or ABBA. I feel like ABBA has negatively affected more people's lives than North Korea ever will, so probably ABBA. The worst thing ever related incident that I've ever suffered was having to go to the show Mamma Mia and pretending that I enjoyed it because I knew people in it, but it was still just ABBA songs. And yeah, basically I felt like I had to tip my brain out as a viscous liquid at the end of the show and replace it like a bad oil change. I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for the week. See you back here on Monday, where I'm sure there won't be any election stuff to talk about at all, because it'll all be over, right?